be blue, 'cause I can't see you.
Hello, this is Richie Wexler. Welcome to Vintage Annals Archive Outsider Podcast. Very happy to have our guest today, Jason Hammer. Jason worked prosthetics in season 2 of Minx, which is how I got to him. This is our third episode on Minx. We've got 3 other episodes we did before that are on our Minx podcast, which is called Pelt a Minx Podcast, which has also interviews by Stephen Tobolowsky, Oscar Montoya, and Lennon Parham, but those were all done last year, just to clarify that. Jason just really knows his stuff, very creative, a true artist in my opinion, and also, you know, you could tell when you're talking to a fan, meaning fan, you know, people that come from fandom usually love things a lot more and are really into it, and you could just, after talking to him for a few minutes, I'm just like, we're just two fans geeking out about this stuff. He worked on Westworld, American Horror Story, Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, Swiss Army Man, Killer of the Flower Moon, and Minx, which we'll be talking about today. There's a great story involving tennis rackets, which I will not give away at this point. Anyway, enjoy. For the people that weren't part of our conversation, I don't mean to cut you off. I need you to share about Dinosaur Island again, if you don't mind, because that blew me away.
It was the first film I got, first film I worked on, and it was a Roger Corman film. They just had these dinosaurs from Carnosaur that they wanted to rehash and throw into the next film, and so they didn't bother to fix them up. So it was like you had these 3 dinosaurs. You had a whole 17-foot pneumatic one.
Okay.
Ken Hall had built this, and it has very limited movements. So it was like, and then that is intercut with a 3-foot little rod, or not rod puppet, but a cable control. But all the cables are slack, so it's just kind of like, you know, it's got one blinky eye from an RC controller that they didn't fix. And then you got another one, which is a guy running around in a suit. And they didn't look anything like each other. But it was our job to just kind of wrangle the stuff and throw blood on people. And you got just naked women and David Carradine running around naked at his place because that's where we're shooting.
For our viewers that don't know, it was also a softcore porn to a certain extent, correct?
It was porn with dinosaurs. So it was these Navy guys that get stranded on an island that happens to be inhabited with these beautiful cave women and dinosaurs.
Tell me more about some of the early experiences, you know, in that were, you know, weird, fun. The reason I like Minx is because it's just out there. And like, for me, I like the weird stories, the funny stories, the dark stories, the inappropriate stories. So as much as you're willing to share without getting fired, I'm happy to hear those.
No, I mean, those were good times. Those are, you know, all the John Buechler years. You know, just terrible low-budget horror films. But that's, you know, that's what you cut your teeth on and just kind of learn the basics. But then, you know, you get into some stuff like The Daniels, and that's just as absurd, if not more, and just as fun.
Tell me about working on Swiss Army Man, because that movie, you know, I think what I love about their work is it seems like it's a lot based on practical effects to a certain extent.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, they come from a visual effects background, both of them.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, they also grew up in the 80s, so they have this passion for practical. And I think it's a really nice combo because they can kind of, they can embellish the practical with the digital. And
yeah.
It's still real. It feels real. It's tactile. It's they try and get everything in camera and then just embellish on top of that.
Yeah. And I think that kind of speak, you know, I don't know. I'm a big Michel Gondry fan. I feel like he also did the same thing with practical effects. And I don't know, to me, it ties to the realism of something, the authenticity of it.
You know, I'll take a rubber monster over a digital monster any day. And it can be super hokey, a guy in a suit walking around. It's still, there's something real about it that that you don't get from the digital stuff.
If you're comfortable speaking, I'm just curious on some experience. You know, you were. I want to hear more if you're okay with sharing about just working on Swiss Army Man in terms of some of the effects and things you were part of that you helped bring to life.
Yeah. So with those guys, I had worked with the producer before. I had just seen something in Variety that she was teaming up with the Daniels to make this corpse movie. And so I had called her up and I was like, hey, if you're doing a corpse, I'm your guy. And she was like, yeah, you gotta meet the Daniels. And I had no idea who the Daniels were. And then she sent over the video, Turn Down For What?
It's a video, a music video?
Oh yeah, you gotta watch it.
I don't know. Okay, Turn Down For What?
Turn Down For What, yeah, it's awesome. And Daniel Kwan's one of the actors in it.
Oh, nice.
And after seeing that, I had seen that before, but I was like, yeah, anything they do, sign me up. You got to watch it.
I got to watch it. For our audience, check that out. We're not going to go further with it.
Absolutely. Just you got to see the video. It's just so clever and kind of outside the box. But I had got the script and she said, let's do an interview with the Daniels. And so I met with them. I hadn't read the script yet. And I was headed to New York and I said, look, I'll read the, I like these guys. They're fun. They're just, there's a lot of energy. And so I read the script and, you know, it's like, you've seen the film, absurd. And I was like,
yeah.
So I wrote them right when I got there. And I was like, guys, what the fuck? And I was like, I'm in. And that was it. And so, yeah, we made bodies. We made probably 4 bodies for Daniel Radcliffe,
you know, yeah. Just
lightweight versions, heavy versions, ones that float, ones that you can ride like a jet ski. Yeah. And it was such an incredible experience for those guys, just because top down, you got Jonathan Wong, who's the producer, and the Daniels. I mean, they wake up every morning. We do calisthenics with the whole crew.
Oh, wow. And then I guess we should take this time now to get into Minx.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's like my story with Minx is a short one. I was hired by Carly. Carly brought me on. You know, we had kind of, like I said, we had worked with each other on a couple different projects. And we just happened to have done some dicks. So, I don't know what it is lately, why there's so many dicks in the industry. I mean, right before that, we had done Bones and All with Luca Guadagnino.
Okay.
Timothy Chalamet. And it's a cannibal story. Another weird one. Another one that's out there.
I actually don't know that one. I got to check it out.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You should look at it. It didn't do that well, but it was an interesting and fun project to work on. But in it, there's this scene where Timothy Chalamet, who's a cannibal, is jerking this guy off and then he kills him. And Luca wanted the specifics on the dick were he wanted it, the skin, he wanted an erect penis and he wants to see the skin travel over the erect cock and they wanted to shoot. And we got out to set and Timothy looked at that and was like, I'm not doing that. So they cut it.
Oh no.
Yeah.
When that gets cut, do they share it with you or they just don't trust it to be out in the world?
I mean, it was Timothy. There's just like, there's no need for it.
Yeah.
And it was, I mean, it was kind of like over gratuitous.
Yeah.
And
yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Are there anything like that, that you were super excited about that you put a lot of energy in and then they just cut it that you're happy to share in your overall work?
Yeah.
Would that be the next hour?
The most, the painful one that the first one that really hurt was we were doing a body on American Horror Story. And it was this full naked Indian who's kind of hanging from a tree. He's like pierced through his chest and he's 30 feet up. And we did the body in like 9 days. Beautiful, beautiful. From live cast to silicone in the full naked. He's got like a loincloth on, hair punching, everything. And we were so proud and we worked through the nights to get it done. And then in the cut, all you see is it for like, you see it here, scream, they whip pan. You show it for about a second and then it's it. And it's in dark too. And you're like, that's it? Oh man. But you know, so be it.
Do you in this work, and I guess it's fun, it's it might be a weird question, but I don't know. I'm a photographer and I feel like there's photographers that look at it as an art and there's photographers look at it as commerce.
Yeah. No, because like I mean, you know, our industry especially has grown exponentially since when I got into it. I mean, like we were doing bodies, you know, back in the 90s, and it'd be a latex polyfoam with big fat seams on it and like just really bad wigs. And you're like, that's amazing. You know, the painted eyes that were horrible. Now, I mean, just kind of the attention to detail. It's like when you're punching hairs, you know, it's like instead of punching a hair and then cutting it blunt, well, your hairs are pointy at the end. And so they're tapered. So now we punch with mink hair. So it's each individual mink hair is punched in, but it tapers at the end. And it's like just that level of detail that you pick up subconsciously that you go like, oh, that's real. Or that, you know, your mind doesn't immediately shut off and go like, oh, it's fake. I don't buy it. It's just a level of detail that we're at that I mean, I'm so passionate about the work. It's like even these dicks, you know, it's like, how do you make a dick, just a silicone dick where the skin will slide over, you know, the shaft and, you know, and be able to shoot a load. I mean, it's like the build on that. I actually really excited about, I love trying to figure out how we're going to do it. I mean, we had another one. It's called May December. It's Todd Haynes' new movie.
Oh, wow.
And they wanted the actor to wear a dick that he feels comfortable in front of the camera. Doesn't have to worry about getting up. And so we made something, but it was like, okay, well, do you want to do the wrap? Because there's many ways you can do it. You can tuck an actor and then you're basically like on Minx. We just tuck the actor and then we put a whole silicone dick and balls over that. And then usually blend off the seam
with
a merkin that kind of hides everything. But on this one specifically, it was like, all right, well, we want to incorporate it on him. So he's actually inside it.
Okay.
And so we went down many roads to try to figure out what was going to be the director and the actor thought was a decent size. They're like, okay, it needs to be 6 inches. And I was like, 6 inches flaccid? You sure you want to do that? It's going to be, you know, unless that's what the scene is about, it's going to be very distracting. And they're like, no, we're pretty sure that's what we want. And we send out the dick and the makeup artist puts it on and like, okay, yeah, that's really distracting. Let's take that down about half. So
this is an odd question. And I asked this the other person that worked on the show. Did you have like a catalog of these things? Like, I'm curious if you have a catalog that you show people. Also, I'm curious on like, how little can you go and how big can you go in your work process? I'm just curious on like, when you're presenting this, what's the offerings?
Yeah, well, I mean, we now have a catalog, which, you know.
Can you send me a picture of that, please? Yeah, and
it's like, I mean, literally, like, I'll have, you know, we just did this thing. We did Queer, which is another Luca Guadagnino thing, and multiple actors that are going to be naked. And you know, of course, Luca's like, oh, I'll talk to him. I'm just going to get him to do it naked. Don't worry about it. And then it's a day before, and they're like, all right, the actor doesn't want to do it. We don't have nudity writer. What kind of dicks do you have? And then I've got to show all our catalog of dicks we've done over the past year. That's goofy.
I want to know what, you know, in terms of like makeup work, in terms of what you grew up with, in terms of seeing on, you know, you're, how old are you, Jason?
I'm 49.
Okay, so we're around the same age. So what are some of the most scenes that just really impress you the most in looking back, especially in 80s and even like late 70s? I mean,
I mean, you know, I think you ask any makeup effects artist that grew up with my time, they're going to all say the thing.
Is that Rick Baker? Or no.
Oh, no, it was Rob Bottin. And Rob was always pushing the envelope. But, you know, the thing is like that and, you know, American Werewolf in London. I mean, those scenes were so thought out and storyboarded and built to the scene, which is, you know, that's why they work.
Yeah.
It's kind of, we don't have that luxury anymore unless you're working with someone like a Coen brother who's like, you know, they're editing in the storyboards, basically, you know. No, I think, I mean, those two were probably the most, I mean, you know, aliens, because obviously I saw that Stan Winston thing with the garbage bags and broomsticks and was like, it goes from that and it shows it to fruition and they made that alien. Holy shit. How they, and then I was just so fast. I mean, you know, like my, I just love how things are built and like trying to figure that out, like how it's made is like, is a show that I watch all the time. My wife hates it. You ever hate it? It is a terrible show, but it's just like they'll take something stupid like a lamp and they show how it's made. And you're like, I'm just fascinated by how things are built and the materials used and, you know, how they do the whole process.
What are some, whether it's your personal life or work life, what are some that you've obsessed the most about in terms of learning about how shit was created or made?
With horror, it's reproducing natural living, you know, like the human body. How do you make the insides of a human look real? And so studying anatomy books, and I was actually on what's the Coen Brother movie? No Country for Old Men. So I was over at Tinsley's working there, and we were building the bodies in the desert. And so we contacted a coroner and we're like, well, in New Mexico. And we said, what would a body look like that's been there for 5 days in the desert, in the sun? And they sent us pictures and it didn't look real. It looked like the worst makeup effect job ever. The body was so bloated. The tongue was like this big outside of the mouth. And it looked like someone had spray painted it black with Krylon spray paint, flat paint. And I was like, this is awful. And so it's like, kind of like, you know, it's always that Hollywood anatomy version. It's like, what's going to look cool? It'll kind of represent. And it's always cool to see the people that go the opposite way and go like for hyper realism.
Yeah.
And really push that. Like, I think Vincent Van Dyke does it a lot where it's like, it's a strong, bold choice where you're painting it black and you're like, oh geez, they really went for it. And I think in a lot of viewers would go like, oh, it looks shitty, but it's like, that's what it looks like. And they achieved it really well and people don't appreciate it. You know,
it seems like you like a challenge. What were some of the work you've done through your studio or yourself that was the most challenging and hopefully most rewarding?
We did a film called Wendy. It's a Peter Pan story. And in the story, there was a mother creature. It's kind of like in Neverland, they all call to the mother. And as long as you believe in the mother, you'll stay youthful. And so it's this huge whale of a creature. And Ben Zeitlin, who's the director, sister was in charge of building that. And they had built a 40-foot sea creature. They built it in New Orleans in some like warehouse. And we had come on to build some prosthetics, subtle prosthetics on the kids because they age when they stop believing. One kid gets his hand cut off. And I'm like, where's the mother? I want to see the mother. And so they took me out there. And it was like a bunch of kids who were building floats had built it. Plastic bags. It was like 55-gallon drums as a ballast system to kind of sink it. And in my head, I'm going, there's no way you're getting a single shot with this if you're going to put it in the ocean. It's like, why would you build a 40-foot creature? It's like, you can build a miniature and shoot it in a tank. Sorry. And so that's exactly what happened. They took it out there. We were shooting in Antigua, in the Caribbean somewhere. And they couldn't get a single shot.
Okay.
And so production had threatened to shut them down. And they said, is there anything you can do? And I said, well, I can't really do anything with that. I said, but I can help you reconceptualize it. And they wanted to stay with the same basic design of it. But we were presenting concepts like, let's shoot a miniature, like a 4-foot miniature.
And
we'll take a Pico projector and we'll project through the inside of the creature so that we're seeing kind of this bioluminescent,
interesting
cuttlefish kind of feel. And they're like, yeah, sounds great. And then, you know, of course you got to do it. And
yeah. I'm
so far out of my wheelhouse, underwater puppets, you know, all stuff. But we did it. We shot stuff and it looks so fucking cool. And like, I mean, I'm so proud of in like the challenges we overcame. I mean, I don't think it's represented well in the film, but I think that was probably like my biggest personal achievement, where I was
like, yeah,
fuck yeah. I mean, we were testing in my pool. We had these huge full-size elements, like these tails, and we built it out of dye sublimated fabric. So we took chiffon.
What does that mean, dye sublimated? It's
basically taking a, like, heat transferring a print. So we did some really
cool okay.
patterns and printed it on the fabric. And then it was chiffon, so it moves really cool underwater. It had heat treated plastic, which gives it another texture. We did like almost like jellyfish like tails on it. And so we had full size elements that were shooting underwater. And then we had the miniatures, and we had a full LED light up, like the gullet lights up. It was super complicated, and I didn't make a cent on it, but it was so fun, and we're all proud of it.
Were there things that you kind of fully understood that you probably couldn't do that you just took on and then made it work?
Yeah. I mean, that's a perfect example.
That one. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I mean, I knew I wasn't going to make any money because we're going to spend it all trying to figure out how the fuck to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's, but it was worth it. And it was, yeah. It was like, it was one of those things where it was like, my company's really small. If we fail miserably, it's not going to be that big a deal. It's just, the film will go away. If it looks really fucking cool and people go like, holy shit, how'd you do that? That is something that could put us on the map.
Nice.
I wouldn't say they put us on the map, but whatever.
I'm curious if you know, in a perfect world, someone came to you and said, hey, we really want to highlight your work and build a film around it. What would that be? What would that look like?
I think I know what you're saying. I mean, I think what we're getting recognized for is kind of more of the hyper-realism stuff. Did you see Stranger Things?
Oh, yeah, you guys worked on season three?
Season three. So all the bodies that are all contorted, Chrissy body and stuff like that. Wow,
that was really fucking... That look had a certain quality. One of my favorite, obviously, Evil Dead, but that had a certain quality of like shit they pulled out in the 80s for the first two Evil Deads that just really impressed me. It felt like that. It felt like the same kind of world, in my opinion.
Thanks.
That was an amazing, go on. It was creepy as fuck, but really well done.
Yeah, yeah. No, I loved that season. That season was a lot of fun. But so I think we tend to do a lot more of the realism stuff, like bodies. But now, you know, I was telling you earlier, we're kind of segueing into more of the prosthetic and character makeups, which I'm really enjoying. And yeah. Then we got the wise guy one with De Niro.
Nice.
And we learned from that. And then we got Queer, which we're aging Daniel Craig to 80 years old. And
wow.
Jason Schwartzman, big fat makeup. And it's just like it just keeps growing. And
yeah.
And I like the trajectory that we're on.
If you had to build them, someone said, look, we got to make a movie. We're going to build the story on the effects. What effect that you've done would you create to make an original project? Does that make any more sense as a question, or is that just too out there?
No. I get what you're saying. We have fun projects too. I mean, like the mink stuff. And all the dicks that we're doing, I think that all it lends itself because those are just as challenging as the big fish. You know, Carly approaches me and she says, okay, so we've got these guys and they stick these tennis rackets on their dick and they play tennis. But so in that, so now the challenge is, one, you got to hide the guy's junk.
Right.
Two, you got to recreate the junk. Three, you got to put a strap a tennis racket onto it and the weight of it and all that stuff. It's really challenging. It doesn't seem like it, but it's really challenging. And so jobs like that are so fun for me.
Tell me about that process. How did you solve it?
So you also have to think about like, okay, this guy's going to be in this thing. He's going to be glued in. So he's going to have to take a piss at some point. So you got to make it so that he can get out of it.
Yeah.
You got to be able to put the strap on or the racket on and off because you can't have that hanging the whole time because it's heavy. And then, of course, when they're doing the scene, these guys are going to go crazy with it. And so it's got to be strong enough to be able to take a swing and hit a ball. And so,
oh my God. It's not just one, it's two different characters playing a dick game of tennis.
And they totally broke it. I think even on the they broke it. And so we had to reinforce it. And you know, it's a TV schedule, so you don't have the time to really figure it out and do it right. It's kind of like you're winging it, you know. But she's also really good. Carly's really good about kind of working on the fly, because I think at one point the they had swung so hard that the mount on the racket had busted. But I think she just kind of taped it back together and made it work.
she's amazing. When you're working on a project like that, do they kind of ask you up front if this could be done? I mean, are you solving problems that might not be able to be solved, or are you also like having those conversations of like, are they asking you like what's feasible, what's not? How does that change? How does that work?
They give you the parameters, and then I kind of come back with parameters my own, saying, you know, like, let's put them in clothes so we can hide the straps, you know. Or, and, you know, it's like if they have shorts on and they're doing it through, then I can hide the straps and we can strap the shit out of it and we don't have to worry. And she was like, nah, they want them naked, fully naked. I'm like, well, you can't hide anything. And then you're going to really have to glue down the straps on the side, and it's an illusion. And you gotta figure out how to sell that illusion.
What I want to ask, if you're comfortable, is what's some of the most fucked up shit you've been asked to do, make?
In line with this conversation, I had to do a massive cock for that's also a centipede for D'Antwoord. You know the band D'Antwoord?
Oh, yeah. I saw a picture of you with him. Nice. It was a centipede, large centipede penis?
Yeah. Yeah. So it had all these like centipede legs on it. I mean, the thing was massive. I think that's probably, but you know,
what video is that? Is that something that exists I can see?
I'm not sure. I can't remember the
it's
name.
One of his videos, right?
It's the one where he's walking around. We made these stilts from too, not the, like those, you know, those blades, those running blades for amputees.
Yeah.
So we made some of those for him where we greened out his legs, and we do a lot of weird stuff with those guys. You know, it's been a while. I think they've had some bad press lately, so it's been a little quiet. But
are there any filmmakers in terms of your own work that you'd love to fucking work with that you haven't gotten to yet?
You know, I've worked with some really good ones. It's so interesting to see all the different styles. You know, you got the directors that wing it, and you got the directors like the Coen brothers that are just like everything is down to a T.
Yeah.
You know, this is what we're shooting. You know, you won't stray from it because that's not in our storyboard, because the storyboard is the edit.
Yeah.
And that's fascinating to me. Like I have another buddy that, that used to be a big director. He did Blade. He did League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, and he's doing a project right now, on his own, where it's just like a one man. It's almost like Rebel Without a Crew. Remember Rob Rodriguez's book, Rebel Without a Crew? It's all about him making El Mariachi and how he did it for like $7,000 or whatever he did it. That's what Steve's doing. And it's so impressive to me the way he is going about it. I mean, it's very much like the Coen brothers. It's very structured and everything. But he's doing the sound. He's doing the shooting. He's doing the makeup effects. He's doing the visual effects. And it's just... I mean, it blows me away. I'm so impressed with that.
Do you know, I'm gonna let you go. Do you know if Dinosaur, I'm going to forget again because my brain doesn't stop working. Do you know if that's available to rent and see online anywhere?
I would, I have no idea.
What's it called again? I got to write it down.
Dinosaur Island.
All right. I'm going to have to find it.
You can look up it's the best that. Poster.
Are there any other movies, just because I have you, that, you know, you recommend in terms of like just... fucking, you know, special effects that any of the kind of out for myself an audience, or any kind of any film that are like these out there things that people could still see that you just love from any time frame, whether it's something you worked on or not.
I just like when it's, you know, when the shit's thought out, when you if it's an effect, kind of like we were talking Irreversible.
Yeah.
You know, it's insanely graphic, hard to watch, but that was thought out. It was planned and it was well executed. And so like it's all an illusion.
Yeah.
And so when you can pull off the illusion, You know, the illusion is I'm going to levitate, but you got to be at this angle to not see my back foot that's lifting me up. You know, that's the illusion. But then you're going to get the director that goes, no, but I want to shoot over here. I was like, but that ruins, it defeats the purpose of the illusion.
Yeah.
You still get that.
I'm just curious on one film that you're just like, this is how it's done. I mean, you've probably talked about it before, but I'm just curious on, because our page is a little bit on the, you know, shit that's on the, a little bit on the left, you know, on the out there. I'm just wondering if there's any kind of cult movies or just things that aren't as well known that could still be seen that just do that shit really well that you've
I mean, that's,
seen,
I,
not necessarily having to have work on.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think, you know, a perfect example is American Werewolf and The Thing. You know, even the remake of The Thing, ADI, had come in with these really cool practical effects that were well thought out.
Yeah.
But then ended up getting buried in digital effects. I mean, like, if you go on YouTube, you can see some of the stuff from ADI that is just really cool shit that's thought out and like, okay, we're going to have this face coming up over like this and we're going to shoot this first and we're shoot this. And it's just, it's boarded, it's thought out, it's, you know, it's executed well.
Is there something that you've seen that in the world you're in, is there anything that really melds, you know, this practical and CGI effects?
Yeah. I think it's when it's the subtle things, you know. So if it's a fake head, right, and you've got a digital blink.
You were talking about something the other day that was this.
Well, yeah, it was the irreversible. Yeah, it's like with that they had a short fire extinguisher, but then they extended it digitally.
Yeah,
so that it feels like they're really impacting the actor, and then it was, you know, just how they smash cut those together and then go from a guy in a beaten makeup to a dummy. And I mean, it was just a nice combo of everything. And it was just so well executed. I mean, it's gory, it's graphic, but it's just very impressive.
I just have to say, for people that are wondering why, there is a trigger warning, there is a rape scene in that movie. So
yeah, there is.
If you do watch it, just be aware. Yeah. I'm okay promoting it, but I don't want to just not let people know about that.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks so much, man. It was great. Really great talking. I really appreciate you giving me this time, and it was a pleasure to, you know, these are, I don't know, I'd love, you know, this is nerding out with people about shit like this is a dream.
I know. I mean, I'm a huge nerd when it comes to this stuff. Yeah. So anytime, man.
All right. Thanks, Jason. Have a good day, dude.
All right, buddy. All right, you too.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for listening and for tuning in again. We're getting excited. We're doing a big event. We're collecting stories from fans and people that knew Paul Rubens, PB Herman. He was a friend of the page. I got to know him a little bit through interacting through the page. And he changed my life in so many ways and so many other people. And I just wanted to give people a chance to, you know, share their thoughts, a place to grieve a little bit, a place to... So if you go to our Instagram, you can Vintage Animals Archive. You can find out information there or go to our website. We're about to celebrate again that the 23rd will be this event, September 23rd. It's also the year anniversary of our podcast. Somehow we've gotten through and done, it'll be about 52 episodes plus some bonus. Really got to thank Otter Castro, who's been doing some producing and some editing and some research, and he's been great. He edited this episode, so thank you, Otter, and see you next week.
We thought in different ways.